B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend.
It was nice. Mirth. Yeah, two nice days.
Full of mirth. Yeah, I slept till 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday.
Very nice.
My parents being in town and my sister-in-law.
What time did you go to bed?
I mean, like 11.
Oh, wow. That is awesome.
Yeah, I slept till 1 o'clock.
Incredible.
Uninterrupted sleep. Only up to get liquids. Only up to get water. That's the only thing I did.
And to make water.
I don't even think I made water. I just, I slept there for, what is that, 14 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. Body needed it. Shut down completely. Getting old. Can't have those weekends anymore.
Now, when you sleep that long, do you feel like better, or is there part of you that feels like almost like you're hungover? Because whenever I sleep that long, there's part of me that's kind of dragging for the rest of the day.
No, I was good. I mean, I was stiff from having been in a prone position for that long.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I get up now, my heels hurt, which is, I guess, something that is not uncommon. I like, my daughter's last soccer game was on Saturday, and I was talking to these guys, and all we talk about is how sore we are after various activities. One of the guys is one of the Williamsport coaches, and he was talking about how he throws batting practice, and then his arm feels like it's going to fall off. One guy was talking, I mean, everything is an ailment in how you can't do things anymore. But yes, the only thing came out of that is I was very stiff.
Yeah.
And my back hurt for being in that position. No, I felt like a million bucks. It ate half the day up. I didn't have to. And then, you know, I got up and then I had a soccer game I had to go to. And that was that. It was wonderful. I have to get my wife. My anniversary is tomorrow. And I have to get my wife a gift.
Tickets to the Meatballs and Manhattans.
Yeah, she's not coming to that. But Meatballs and Manhattans. But I got to figure out what do you get for? I don't even know what anniversary it is.
Yeah, I've forgotten too. Like I don't think it.
Well, for you, I completely understand. I mean, how do you exactly mark your anniversary? What year is it exactly since middle school?
We don't celebrate our dating anniversary. It's just our wedding anniversary.
That's why? Why do you celebrate dating anniversary at all? That's my point.
I know. You've been to
Jesus.
You're like the real-life Boy Meets World.
Honest to God.
I think Fred's only been married 1 year less than I have.
Yeah, but I met her about 15 years after you met your wife.
Sure.
So, No. I think that it's not that long. I haven't been married that much longer than you. But you've been with your wife for...
Ever. Yeah.
For longer than you haven't.
Oh, that we passed that mark a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to figure out, A, when we got married, and B, what you're supposed to get for that anniversary.
You guys follow that, like the paper anniversary stuff?
It saves you a lot of money. And she has gotten my gift apparently like a month ago. And I keep pushing it off and not remembering that I'm supposed to do it.
Now it's go time.
No, it's just there's a gift. You have to give a gift constantly. There's always something that you have to get a gift for. It's every single month now. Anniversary, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, birthday, Christmas. There's just something that comes up constantly. And so, yeah, if you save yourself some pain in the ass, because there was like a bronze one, and I panicked and got something off of like Amazon of two bronze people holding hands. And my wife made fun of me, and I pretended that I was hurt.
Like, so what now, else am I supposed to get? It's bronze.
So I pretended to be hurt. So now it's in a position of, it's in a like prime position in our house.
Bronze. You get her spray tan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, like when it's like, you know, your 13th anniversary, like what is that? You know,
tell me, because that one's next for me. So okay. I need to know the answer to that.
When the hell did I get married? When I was 30?
In
so 14th anniversary?
Oh, four, I think.
Well, I'm 44, so if I got married when I was 30. Then this is the 14th anniversary.
Okay.
Hey, 13 is lace, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's lace?
It is.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's it? That's
what it says here.
It's just lace?
Lacy lingerie. It's a suggestion I have here in front of me.
Ew. No, that's not happening.
No, you guys are both past 13, so... Rich has tripled that.
I don't know when it happened, like with birthdays and Mother's Day and Father's Day and all of our stuff, where we just stopped trying. Like something happened where like we won't even have it on that day. Like if there's like the kids got something that's busy, we're just like, all right, we'll do Father's Day, you know, on Tuesday. Like something happened, and you know what? It's phenomenal. It's great because there's like no pressure to really get anything in time or even get a good present for that. Like, you know what I got for Father's Day? My wife bought our kids like an inflatable slide for the backyard. That was my Father's Day present. And you know what? I didn't care. I was like, all right, fine. Because that means that I'm not expected to get her anything of any kind of importance.
Yeah, when it's like the 30th gift.
Well, no, I'm talking about like Mother's Day and birthdays. No, but you've been, like
yeah, birthdays. I mean, you've celebrated your birthdays together for 30 years.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that's not...
We just don't get each other anything really anymore. And you know what we'll do? We'll do this. Like, let's say there's a, like we're going to take a trip or something like that out of town, you know, even with the kids. But all right, well, I guess this is our anniversary present. We just kind of like, all right, that's it. And we agree to it. And you know, it's amazing. Like, we don't have any kind of pressure to get each other anything. And we'll have like a little get together and, you know, she'll get like a cake or something for my birthday. But that's really it. And I don't know when it started. And it wasn't even like a mutual thing agreed on. It just kind of became, all right, well, neither of us really cares about getting anything.
So we're getting very stale.
It must be. Or it's to me, it's the best gift ever. It's the best Father's Day gift to not have to give a Mother's Day gift. And it's the best birthday gift to not have to give a birthday gift.
I don't think I got her anything for Mother's Day except flowers and a card. So, I didn't do a lot. But you are in a different situation than most people.
Hey, Fred, if I can interrupt for a second, only because if you think it's 14, because you got married at 30...
Yeah.
The 14 was, well, traditionally it was ivory, but because that's no longer ethical, just get her something elephant related.
Okay.
Ivory. Elephant. When is the bald eagle anniversary?
I said 14 traditional. And she said ivory, and I'm like, oh, get her an elephant or something. And then there's an asterisk.
Get her a bunch of soap.
There's an asterisk next to it. It says the traditional theme of ivory for the anniversary is now considered unethical due to the adverse effect. Therefore, the 14th anniversary, which contains an elephant theme, is now appropriate.
Okay.
Okay.
Like a wooden elephant.
Yeah, well, here's a wooden elephant.
I fulfilled my obligation.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so lace.
That's 13.
She's not mad that you have to go to Meatballs Manhattan's on your anniversary, is she?
No.
Okay, good. Well, that's good.
She just doesn't want to go.
Okay. I think our wives are fairly cool about it. There's some that just take anniversaries and stuff like that way too seriously.
We went out Saturday.
That's good. That's awesome.
No, she doesn't care. But she wants nothing to do with the event. But that is true. Meatballs in Manhattan's is coming up tomorrow with Mark Gemelli. It's going to be from 7 to 9 in Hurricanes at the Garden. 21 and over. 25 to get in. $5 for every ticket goes to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. You get a big Toucher and Rich t-shirt. I don't even know what that looks like. You can get meatballs in Manhattan, thanks to Devil's River Whiskey. And someone's going home with a new recliner. There's going to be music. You can get tickets on sale now at 985thesportshub.com. Mark Jamelli's going to sing some of his favorite Italian classics, as he is. He lives in the North End in a place that he inherited. And there's a blue light out in front that he likes to gaze at.
Mm-hmm.
There's four recliners in the place.
It'd be great. We haven't been out as a show in, I mean, since the anniversary thing, other than, of course, the charity thing that we did with Pucks and Battles. No, have not been out as a show. So this should be interesting. Is Bert, are you going to be out there? Because tomorrow night is the Red Sox game.
Oh, Bert is here. Are you going to be able to go?
I took the night off. I'll be there.
Hey,
wow.
Look at that.
That's fantastic.
Love it, Bert. That'll be great.
Bert using vacation time.
How about that? Thank you, Bert.
To get in. Well, that's the draw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Bird's not there, no one's coming.
People love Bird.
That's right.
They do love Bird.
That's right. The Bird was at the old casino over there.
We're going to talk about that later on.
Nick has stories. He does.
I was obsessed with the grand opening yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
apparently.
I couldn't get enough of the videos and of all the people, the news stories. I was absolutely obsessed.
Apparently 50,000 people in like five parking spots.
Yep.
The garage must have been great.
Oh, yeah.
In and out, no problem.
Yeah. It was, must have been the
There's
real...
There's no T-stop next to it.
Nope. There's nothing there.
You're hiking.
Dan O'Brien was telling me the closest T-stop, and I don't know if this is true, is Wellington. And you have to take a shuttle bus from Wellington.
Well, isn't there one, oh, gosh, in Malden that they're taking buses from? They're telling you to go
Malden
to the one
in Wellington.
Malden.
You can take it. Yeah. Malden Center.
And there's shuttles.
Malden Center and Wellington. Those are the two.
Just hike
like
Everett,
Goodfellas.
Man.
It's just like Goodfellas. You go in the back door.
Oh, man.
You get off at Malden. You get on the shuttle bus.
I was obsessed. Like, I mean, the daytime fireworks, the people who were waited hours in line. It was just all-consuming over the weekend. And I have not heard all the stories yet about Bert and Nick's adventure over there on Friday.
Well, if they're going to give the stories, hold on to your hat. Because they're going to be in perfect order. It's going to be wonderful. All right, so Rich, what's coming up?
We have a very angry play-by-play guy. Dennis Eckersley gets pissed off during the Red Sox game yesterday.
All right, we'll be right back.
Sports Hub. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Now you find the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Home sweet hell.
ID drive. He jumped on that to right field. Mookie Betts turning around, watching that one sail on out of here. Sogard continues to hit the ball hard. He had been 0 for 4 until that shot, his eighth home run. That'll make it 6-0.
That is Nesson, and after a series against the Twins that sparked a little bit of hope that the Sox could possibly go on a run, the team returns home to Boston and takes a big steamer all over the field. 6-1, the final score over the struggling Blue Jays. One of the reasons for the Red Sox struggles yesterday was Blue Jays starter Marcus Stroman. But as hard of a time that the batters had with him, he might have pissed off Dennis Eckersley the most. Fred, you have the clip right here.
All right, here we go. Eckersley.
Crowd's trying to jump into it, and he struck him out. And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
Looking at the Red Sox dugout and yelling out as he skips into the dugout.
That last pitch.
Yep.
Big scream toward the Red Sox dugout, and then takes off to his dugout. Happy that he pitched well today. I don't know, man. If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I can take it, you know. But when he's turning around to the opposing dugout,
that's tired.
And maybe this doesn't matter when you're sizing up that reaction from Stroman, but does he do that to every opponent if he has that kind of game?
I don't know. I mean, I've said before, he's an excitable guy. He's a competitive guy. I know there's a lot goes on between him and the Red Sox dugout all the time.
Yeah, I think he probably does it to a lot of teams. But yeah.
I think there's something especially there with the Red Sox.
But he's got a little shimmy he does when he punches guys out. And
yeah.
He's got a little dog in him. He really got a lot of
showman in him, or whatever you want to call it.
He's also a very talented pitcher.
Yeah, a very emotional kid, probably. Yeah.
He's probably a guy that was on your club, you'd love him. But when you see stuff like that, it kind of really ticks you off.
Yeah, I get it.
After Stroman struck out Eduardo Nunez to end the sixth, you heard him do the, ah, and he looked at the Red Sox dugout. And, of course, Dennis Eckersley, the bastion of never celebrating a strikeout.
Red Sox fans remember the 90 playoffs all too well.
He was
the 89 playoffs, whatever it was.
He called it tired. So after the game, Stroman saw a video of ex-commentary, and he tweeted, quote, "His comments are always trash. I was surprised there wasn't a like underneath it from at Astros dad." But then Stroman retweeted a video of Dennis Eckersley that had this.
I didn't like it when he would strike somebody out and shoot him as they're going back to dugout, or when he would do that thing with his hip when he would get the third out of a game. It drove me crazy. I hate him. Am I supposed to wave to the guys going, how's your wife and kids? I had a chip on my shoulder. I didn't like who I played against.
Yeah, so Stroman posted that video and added the word hypocrite when talking about Dennis Eckersley.
Hypocrite.
Although Eckersley at the end of that clip kind of sounded like he was coming around on it, maybe was realizing what he was saying, and maybe I'm calling out a guy for doing pretty much the same thing that I used to do.
Well, the good thing is that they can hit him the next time he's up. Oh, whoops. It's American League.
Yeah.
You can get away with whatever you want.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. I mean, Eckersley is a huge hypocrite. And let's face it, all those unwritten rules are gone anyway. I mean, you remember Max Muncy with the how he stared down Madison Bumgarner and put one in the cove and said, you know, if you're pissed, go get the ball out of the ocean, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what it is nowadays. I mean, remember Jose Bautista and the bat flip of all bat flips in the playoffs?
Sure.
I mean, that's what it's about now.
Well, they hit him, didn't they?
Bautista?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He got punched out or something.
I don't remember what happened after that. I just remember the bat flip.
Wasn't there? Yeah, I thought there was a fight.
Yeah, is that the Odor fight afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he did actually.
Okay, I take it back then. I'd forgotten that the two were connected.
He got nailed in the just hit him in the face.
Yeah, it was a real punch.
No, that was
it was
knocked him out. He legit knocked him out.
I mean, people make fun of baseball fights all the time. That was a great.
I think Odor only got 5 games from that.
Is it Rougned Odor?
Yes, it is.
I love that name.
He's just here.
Rougned.
I don't even know if he got 5 games.
I think he got 5. And I remember thinking when that happened, going, see, that's awesome, because who cares about 5 games when you're these dudes? It's almost like Major League Baseball is encouraging these people to, like, take the law into their own hands, which I'm completely cool with.
Yeah, if you pimp a home run like that, you're going to – well, I mean, I guess in the American League, you know, they're going to not even hit you with a ball.
Anyway, Eckersley was a jackass when he pitched with Oakland.
I love how everyone yells at that, you know, that Bautista bad flip when, I mean, Manny Ramirez had the worst of all time. You know, the hands up in the air.
In the playoffs. I think that was the 04 playoffs against, was that 04? I forget what year.
That might be the worst of all time.
It was in 04. That was great.
Of course,
fantastic.
I'm sure as a fan, it was great. And you know what? I love that.
And if you look back,
with that stuff.
If you look back at the video, and I don't know how many people know this, you look back at the video, there's a guy in the front row. You know who Dennis Drinkwater is?
Yeah.
Giant glass.
Yeah.
Drinkwater had seats behind home plate. And when you look back at that Manny home run to win the playoff game, Drinkwater, as soon as Manny hits the ball, Drinkwater leaps to his feet and dashes because he wants to beat the crowd. It's fantastic. If you look back at the video, look at it. He's sitting as you face Manny to the left of home plate, and as soon as Ramirez hits the home run, Drinkwater is on his feet and sprinting up the runway to get out of there.
I've never noticed
it's
that.
It's great.
Well, so there you go. He posted that video and had the word hypocrite, which, you know, he's right. Well, either way, the Red Sox are a bag of asses at home. They have fallen below 500 at 18-19. Here is Alex Cora afterwards.
You look at this weekend and it showed. You know, we stole one on Friday. We had a lead on Saturday. And they stole the game. And today we didn't show up, you know. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing. You know, we expect better things out of the group, you know. And today, I think all around, it wasn't a good game.
And then there was just some weird stuff that was going on. Stuff that you usually don't see professional baseball teams do, much like this.
That's a ball.
No.
And that's going to bring in a run. Rick Porcello charged with a balk, and it costs him a run. Biggio is in.
Yeah, you've got to be so careful with, you know, you're on the mound, you're not in the stretch.
All right, so I watched that, and let me know if I'm explaining this right. So Christian Vasquez puts up both of his hands and, like, kind of waves him off the mound, as if to say it's like a timeout. But Porcello steps off the mound with the wrong foot.
Yeah.
So they called it a balk?
It looked awkward, and I read the explanation, and I still don't quite understand it.
Okay.
I thought he called timeout, and so did Porcello,
by the way. Yeah, I mean, Christian Vasquez has his hands up for a good, like, second and a half, and well, he even does the thing like, hey, step off.
But if they didn't call, if the ump didn't call time and he leaves the mound, that's a balk.
Sure, but I think they were saying on the broadcast, if he would have stepped off
with a different foot,
it wouldn't have been a balk.
The whole thing was really strange.
Which, once again,
might have lifted his arm a little bit. It just, the whole thing was really weird. But the frustrating thing about the Red Sox is it's not just one thing you can point at and go, okay, that's the problem. I mean, the Sox go 5-1, they come home, and Chris Sale was horrible at the beginning. Or he gets beat up a little at the beginning. They have a big lead, and the bullpen implodes. Bullpen hasn't been horrendous, but they were horrendous that day. You know, and yesterday, Rick Porcello and the bats didn't show up. And Porcello balks in a run. There were 3 walks, 2 hits, and a balk, and 3 runs are in, and the game's out of hand. It's not one thing or another. That's the scary part about it. They're getting on base. They're hitting home runs. The bullpen has been better than expected. The starting rotation has been good right up until the period of time where they need to really reel off some wins, and then the rotation is not good. I'm really not sure what to do here. I mean, if you're the Red Sox and you're 47-38, I mean, they were 42-37. I think it's 42-37 now. They were 88-37 last year. I mean, they didn't lose their 37th game until 2 months later in the season last year. What do you do?
They're not a wild card team right now, if I'm not mistaken.
They're one game out behind Cleveland, and I think they're a half game behind Texas for that second wild card. But if you're the Red Sox, you got basically the same guys, and they're not nearly as good. So if you're Dombrowski, what do you do? I mean, do you ride it out with these guys, or do you try and make a trade or two? By the way, you know, Pawtucket and Portland are dead last in their divisions in double and triple A.
I don't know who you're gonna trade. I don't know.
That's just it.
I mean, you seem to have fleeced that already. But you got your World Series.
And I think ultimately that's what Dombrowski is going to fall back on. That's where I was headed.
It's ultimately hard to fault the guy.
You know what? We won our World Series. I'm sorry it didn't work out this year. I'm sorry that the farm system is pretty bare above single A.
But you got a ring.
But you know, all the guys you wanted. We lucked out. Chavis came up through the system and is producing. I don't think anyone expected him to be doing it this early. Maybe next year. But all of our prospects are single-A prospects or guys that just got the double-A. So there's no one there that we can call up other than Chavis and go, okay, here's a guy we can replace in the starting rotation. Well, there's nobody like that.
And the other thing, too, is that I know it doesn't seem like a big deal as the words come out of my mouth, but Brock Holt ended up having to leave the game. But he's been their best hitter for about a month now.
He's been real good the last month, but that was after spending, what, 7 weeks on the disabled list?
Yeah.
I mean, that goes along the line of what's been wrong. It's been one thing after another, and it's been different things for this team.
Yeah.
You know what they need to do?
What's that?
Hit more bombs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Couple more bombs.
A little ding-dongs. Well, get them around. Touch them all.
Well, the bad news is that the Sox remain at home, where they're not very good. Tonight they take on the White Sox at 7:10, so look for Bird keeping things on the up-and-up, pulling security duty. I laugh every time somebody sends me a picture of Bird just looking into the nothingness.
Staring in that right field corner, man. Ain't no one getting on the turf in the right field corner.
Well, I found out that Bird is a workout aficionado, and that will be explained at 8 o'clock.
Oh.
I've heard that Bird loves jacking iron around. He loves moving the iron around. All right, what's next, Rich?
Well, Kyrie Irving is a huge fan of the city of Boston. No, he hates it.
Yeah, that's going to... I think he might get booed next time he comes here.
You think
here.
The boo birds might come out?
I think that they're going to say, hey, Jack, there ain't nothing wrong with that Freedom Trail.
We're going to give you the what for.
I think he's going to get a little bit of the boo birds. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, as days go by, the thought of Kyrie Irving and the Celtics reuniting is feeling more and more like the chances of an Oasis reunion. Both sides caustic together, and both sides seem to truly dislike each other. But man, that would be hysterical if it happened. More fuel poured on the fire that Kyrie is out of here this weekend when Jackie McMullen was on the Brian Windhorst podcast, which, by the way, is not being played at the wrong speed. His voice is truly that high. And when she talked about just how much Kyrie wasn't really a fan of anything, I don't think it surprised a lot of us.
But these are all the things. The part of the thing was Kyrie Irving didn't like Boston. I've been told this by many people. He didn't like living in Boston. He just didn't. You know, by the end, he had issues with Brad. By the end, he had issues with Danny. By the end, he had issues with pretty much all of us, right?
So on top of that, with the reports of
Kyrie. Did she say why he didn't like living in Boston?
No, she did not go into detail.
Yeah, because I had not.
That's new.
Yeah, I was wondering just like what particularly he didn't like about living in Boston.
Probably the fans, the way they turned on him. I mean, that's the one thing that was clarified by, I think, somebody else. It wasn't Jack McMullen. There was somebody who followed up on that saying that he wasn't always that way. That is something that changed like mid-season. And I guarantee you it's right about the time he made those comments. Come and talk to me on July 1st. Yes, John.
Turn the mic on. Did you see what Sean Grandy posted on Saturday?
I was just about to read that because it was pretty good. Yeah. So on top of the reports of Kyrie ghosting the Celtics, although Danny Ainge denies that, Kyrie is now finding himself in Japan, taking pictures of himself on Instagram and putting the quote, "Ego has no room between you and me. We are one. I am." Which is exactly what someone who calls out younger players publicly to the media would say. I mean, this guy is such a phony. So, as you were mentioning, Sean Grandy put something out there this weekend. He had a picture of that quote about how Kyrie couldn't stand anyone in Boston, and he put it right next to a quote a few years ago about how he couldn't stand anyone in Cleveland, and Grandy said, "If you have story after story of all the, quote, bad roommates you've had over the years, guess what? You are the bad roommate." And he's exactly right. Even NBA executives are jumping in on this. In a new Bleacher Report article, an unnamed executive was asked about, quote, divas, and the two people that were mentioned to him were D'Angelo Russell and Kyrie Irving, and the executive was taken aback, and he goes, "Well, listen, they're both divas, but Irving takes it to another level. Russell may be high maintenance, but he's no Kyrie Irving." So this is something that even in like NBA circles, everyone's looking at what he did over the past, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
And they're saying, this is a guy that I don't even know. You heard the reports about how the Nets no longer want to take him as a solo act, and they only want to have him if there's another player such as Kevin Durant attached to it because he would take the brunt of all the pressure.
The quote from ESPN talking about his time in Cleveland. Now, you were just reading what Jackie McMullen said.
Yeah.
Quote, "The truth is Kyrie's camp has been putting it out there for years that he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. He doesn't like Mike Brown. He doesn't like Chris Grant. He doesn't like Dion Waiters. He's already gotten the GM fired. He might get Mike Brown fired." Sound familiar?
Yep. Sounds exactly like what Jackie McMullen just said.
It would be funny, though, if he went out and there was nothing really to his liking and people were kind of hesitant to sign him and then he had to come back to Boston.
Well, if he comes back here, it would
only be for a year. I'm telling you, Danny won't give him a max at this point.
Well, I just think the whole thing would be hysterical. I mean, as a Celtics fan, it's got to piss you off. But as a person who enjoys chaos,
oh,
this year would be
great for us.
This year would be phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Because he didn't like Boston before.
Because I'm wondering, and we've talked about this before.
And then everyone would boo him, and then everyone would say how racist Boston
is. Then he'll score 40. Then he'll score 45, and everyone will go crazy.
Fred, I'm not even sure if they'd boo him, and here's why. Because I have a weird feeling that Kyrie Irving, if this happened, and the chances are, as you said, Fred, maybe he goes to a bunch of places, and they're like, "Dude, we're not going to sign you unless you get somebody else," and he ends up not being able to get somebody else to sign with him. Although I don't see that. I think that that's kind of all talk.
Yes, right.
But if he did come back, couldn't you see him saying, "Guys, I've always loved Boston. It was a hard time last year. I'm sorry for all the problems that I've caused."
Don't believe everything you hear.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, on top of that, "I've always said I was going to be back. I was going through some personal issues, and now I think as a leader I've grown." I have a weird feeling that he could say something stupid like that and we'd all get suckered back in. Because all he does is say crap like that over and over again.
Even if it was just for a year?
Well, I mean, the for a year thing would suck because then everyone's once again playing that game. Is he going to stay? Is he not going to stay?
Well, I mean, that would make sense for both sides. Seriously. It makes sense for both sides if that happened. If he came back here and he did one of those LeBron James 1+1 deals, I wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, as I said, if he comes back in any way, shape, or form, it would surprise
me. It's not going to. I think we all agree in this room there's going to be a team that offers him the max. Regardless of under what circumstances it is, there'll be a team that offers him a max deal. He's too good a player. He's not coming back here. I'm just saying we're down that road discussing this, so I'm going to throw some logs on the fire here. It would be brilliant for us. It'd be great. We'd have content for months if he came back here.
Okay, so
but it's not going to happen. Somebody's going to offer him a max, and he's leaving.
Go down the list. The Knicks are going to give him anything he wants.
Exactly.
They're desperate right now. They're going to give him anything he wants. Now, whether he wants to play there or not, I bet he still will.
And I still say Brooklyn offers him the deal. I think that's wrong, and he shouldn't go there, but I bet you Brooklyn offers him the max, too.
Man, I'll tell you what, though. I've seen what the papers are saying in New York about Kyrie Irving, and they're 100% right. They're looking at what happened in Boston and going, we're kind of in a similar situation.
Kind of?
Nets.
It's almost exact from 2 years ago.
Everyone. It's from New Jersey, so that would make everything okay.
Not one person in the media that I've seen is clamoring for him to come to the Nets. With the Knicks, it's like beggars can't be choosers. Just you get whatever you can. You throw money at everyone, and hopefully someone will say, yes, I'll play for James Dolan. But he's gone no matter what. But boy, Fred, every time you mention how great would it be if he stayed, it would be utterly hysterical. And it would kill my soul as a Celtics fan.
No, but it'd be fantastic for this program.
Oh.
It'd be fantastic for this program.
There's no question. Because I wonder if something like that happens, whether you have players like Jaylen Brown, like, getting pissed and demanding a trade.
Well, Jaylen Brown's entering the walk here. I don't think that's going to happen.
But yeah. I mean, you want to see chaos? Here comes chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to know specifically why he didn't like living in Boston.
I think it's the fans. I think because they called him out on his BS.
Yeah, but that's not like living in Boston. See, I take it more as, and the fans at the Garden, they don't boo or anything. I mean, as far as he knows, what the hell's going on?
They booed him during the playoffs. I mean, they booed him when he didn't perform. He got booed.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that it sounded like he just didn't like living in Boston, which I'm just curious why.
Maybe he just got caught in one too many traffic jams, Fred. That alone gets people to move.
I mean, he's from New Jersey, so it can't be a weather issue.
It's true. No traffic in Jersey, in New York.
I know this sounds weird. I don't think he had any friends.
I don't know that.
No, I'm talking about on the team. Like, as far as the team was concerned, because now his whole dream is getting one of his buddies, like Jimmy Butler, and Anthony Davis has been a friend of his, and they've been wanting to play together. From our reports, do you have any friends on this team? Was there anybody who was his buddy? I know he liked Jason Tatum, and they were affable.
That was at the beginning of the season. Remember, he started that commercial with him right at the beginning of the season?
But at the end of it, I don't know if anyone was really friends with him on this team, according to any reports. You hear of other guys in the team, they're pretty tight. Like the young guys, I believe Jalen and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier, they were all kind of a pack.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't see Gordon Hayward hanging out with him. I don't know. I think Gordon Hayward's also one of those guys kind of the outside look. I think everyone liked him, but it was kind of, you know, that first year him not being around the team and rehabbing, I think there might have been some distance between them.
It's still, those are inside the team. When I hear he didn't like living in Boston, it makes me think that he just doesn't like the area, which I'm just curious to why. I mean, there's reasons, but there's obviously reasons that you could give out, but I'm just curious why. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
take a walk on the wild side.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
All right, so something happened over the weekend that makes me think that Kyrie Irving, even if he does go to New York, is going to realize pretty damn quick that if you thought Dan Shaughnessy was the toughest guy that you're going to sit there and have to talk to after games, then you have never faced the New York media. So the Mets, I don't know if you heard about the incident that involved their manager, Mickey Callaway. So there was a incident where Newsday's Tim Healy was down in the clubhouse, and Mickey Callaway and him got in a massive, massive fight of words that involved the term, get this mother effer out of the clubhouse. And when Healy didn't leave, Vargas got into a stare down with him. Words were exchanged, and Vargas had to be restrained from him. Now, John, you know the details of this entire thing. What went down?
What happened was Callaway put in a reliever, Seth Lugo, who, by the way, had been pitching fine. He'd been pretty good over the last couple of weeks. He pitched the eighth inning with the Mets holding a lead, and Lugo gave up a three-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning. I think it was to Javier Baez, and they wound up losing 5-3. And after the game, New York media comes in, say, you know, you have arrested Edwin Diaz, who is a big acquisition. He was a lights out
closer.
Yeah.
So they're saying, why did you not... John is giving a lot of unnecessary details.
Oh.
He said, well, you don't have to know who he gave the home run up to. So they said, why didn't you put in your closer?
For five outs.
For five outs.
Yes.
And then the manager went nuts. And then the reporter went walked away and said, okay, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. And that set the manager off. Now,
yeah, the manager said, don't be a smartass.
Yeah, which the...
He saw him like, in his office dressed as if he was like leaving for the day.
Which,
and so he said, he's like, see you tomorrow, Mickey.
Yeah, which means, which he was being a prick. He said, see you tomorrow. And then he played it off like he wasn't being a prick. He played it off like, no, I was just telling him I'd see him tomorrow. That's not what happened. He said it in a condescending fashion.
So this is according to Newsday. Newsday wrote an article, and it wasn't the reporter who wrote it. It was somebody else who was there. He said Mickey came out of his office dressed, and he said, Healy said, I thought he was leaving for the day. He said, see you tomorrow. And he said, don't be a smartass. Healy said he was told by other reporters that Callaway continued to curse at him. Healy said he did not hear that because he was 10 feet away at that point. Healy said Callaway then went into another room, and when the manager returned after a few minutes, he picked up where he left off. Quote, I couldn't confidently tell you exactly what he said, but he said, you know, we're going to be in a bad mood after a loss or something like that. And I tried to tell him I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying, I'll see you tomorrow, which I agree with you, Fred. I think he's being kind of
not
sincere. And then he said, get this guy out of here. And that got the attention of Jason Vargas. So according to Healy, Vargas was getting dressed in his locker, which is about 15 feet away in the cramped visitor's clubhouse. And Healy noticed the pitcher had been staring at him for what seemed like roughly 45 seconds. Healy said he was just standing there, quote, wondering why Mickey was blowing up when he saw Vargas. He recalled asking him if everything was okay or if there was something he wanted to say, and that's when Vargas threatened him.
That's the thing.
Quote,
another like little jab
there. Yeah, goaded him in. Now, listen, yeah. You can't be going after reporters.
Right.
But, yeah, he was goading him into it.
But then Vargas was awesome. He said, quote, I'll knock you out right here, and then took a couple steps towards me, which, once again, you really can't do. Some people said charge. Charged is a super strong word. Mets media relations manager Ethan Wilson got between Healy and Vargas, while other players, Noah Syndergaard and Carlos Gomez among them, moved in to make sure the pitcher remained at a distance. Healy said he walked away at that stage. Quote, I was shocked and at the same time trying to tell Vargas or Callaway or Ethan, hey, I didn't mean anything by it, which might have been interpreted as aggression on my part. I was in no way trying to be aggressive or antagonistic or anything.
Which is why you left immediately after all this happened.
Right.
At that point, I want to talk to Diaz and then leave. You know, what's the point of me trying to pick a fight? So, of course, that's if you're Kyrie Irving and you're ready to jump right into this.
Bring this back to Kyrie for a second. The Mets have the National League Rookie of the Year leader parked in the middle of their lineup. They have one of the better pitchers statistically in the National League in DeGrom. They're underachieving this year. They're under 500. So, Brooklyn, I bet you, they're limping along. It's early January, and they're 20-22. And the New York media is in there after Brooklyn loses a game. They blow a late lead and lose to whatever, Toronto. You don't think Kyrie Irving's going to go off? You don't think that he's going to have a problem with this?
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, this is very possible, considering how much Brooklyn overachieved this past year.
Well, if you get Kyrie Irving for any of the New York teams, especially Brooklyn, there's going to be an expectation that they're going to be one of the best teams in the East. And if that doesn't occur, right away, that blame shifts entirely onto Kyrie.
And the New York media will do everything they can to poke and prod him.
Yes.
There's no way he should go to Brooklyn or New York.
No.
He should go as far away from a media capital as he possibly can.
But, John, he's from New Jersey.
Of course.
So, I mean, he's got to... Yes.
Right.
He's a grown man. I mean, he's got to be right around. And I'm sure he's going to spend a lot of time where he grew up. Just ridiculous. I mean, you can't. You got enough money, you could have every friend in the world that you've had over the course of your lifetime. You could buy him a house. Each of them. I want to be by where I grew up. Ridiculous.
I have to find, there's some pretty good, there's some pretty good front pages right now from this whole incident. Because, you know, obviously everyone is now digging their heels in, which is pretty fantastic. The Daily News has got a picture of the manager. It says, Mickey Mouth Club. Not bad. That's not a bad one. And then after that, it just says meltdown. And then there's another one that just says Mets mayhem. Mickey curses out reporter. Then Vargas threatens him. Mickey Mouth Club, not bad. That's the leader of all of them.
Yeah. Osama bin Laden.
Listen, you can't touch the sun every day.
That's true. I mean, you really need to retire that. I mean, it just nothing will ever beat that. You don't even have to. Well, I mean, I understand you like saying it, but you don't have to mention it. It's like
they had superimposed pornos.
Yeah.
Stacked next to the TV and put like what looked like a man and a woman having sex on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like the intricacies of the cover. I mean, they spent a lot of time on that. That wasn't stock. That wasn't just a picture of the Mets manager.
No,
that was they had that was art. They that was a piece of art that should be hanging at the Met.
Yeah.
This was something that is I would like to blow it up to life size and just have it take over or at bigger and just have it take over one wall in my home. Osama bin Laden. If you don't know the story, when they had raided Osama bin Laden's place and they found pornography, that was the cover of the Daily News.
It might have been the Post.
I think it was the Post, actually. Yeah. You're right. And it was Osama bin Laden. And it was a picture of Osama bin Laden sitting there with the TV and all these porn stacked up next to it. And you've got to think of the situation, too, is that they've killed the most hated person in the world, or certainly in the U.S. They finally killed him, and they've, and this is a couple days later, they found some porns. And so the Post just went, run with it. This is what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, they had just a field day with Anthony Weiner.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah. I mean,
there's one that was just the headline was Obama beats Weiner.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fantastic. And do you remember who was the guy? Was it David Pecker? The person who
Michael Pecker.
Michael Pecker. No, Pecker, who ended up having those pictures of Jeff Bezos.
I'm thinking of something different.
Yeah. And remember, it was like naked pictures of Jeff Bezos. And like the headline was Bezos exposes Pecker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to like get money from him.
When Anthony Weiner was, going up the ranks in New York, you know how you told me that they have like death reels? CNN.
Yeah, my wife had to make some of those.
Yeah, before someone, if they're prepared in case someone dies. They have the whole thing. So when Weiner was coming up,
they're just let's write every headline we can possibly
think
of.
They just sat around in a room for three days straight just coming up with Weiner puns.
I mean, I'm looking at one right now, Weiner's second coming. And then there was when the guy, I'm looking at somebody's right now, when the dude from Subway, remember when Jared from Subway ended up, going to jail?
He's a pedophile.
Yeah, enjoy a foot long in jail. Wiener, I'll stick it out. I mean, there's some pretty bad ones here.
I mean, Wiener was such a gift to them.
Stroking gun. It was a picture of Wiener with taking a selfie of him with his pants off. Wiener's rise and fall.
There's one.
I don't even know what the story was, but it's just hide the wiener.
That's pretty good.
I mean, honestly, that person, wiener exposed. There's just too many of these. And they're all just, and you know what? To be honest, they really never get old.
No. I mean, because they were so excited his name was Wiener. By the way, how do you not change that last name? How do you go through life with the name Wiener?
I don't know.
Or at least say, no, it's Weiner. Something like that.
But you can't.
I know that. But I mean,
and then there's a horrible one. It's a picture of him holding his new baby, Anthony Wiener. It says Wiener shows off his little one. Well, I mean, and then there was the one that came out a couple months ago. Do you remember when the story happened about, you know, I think it was Paul McCartney told that story about how they used to, you know, masturbate together. Beat the Meatles.
I remember that one. That one was really good.
There was another one that was pretty bad, too, involving that, which for some reason I have a really hard time saying on the air.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.